Hello, and welcome to the Should I Go See It podcast, where every other Friday we take a deeper dive into the one-sentence reviews on shouldigoseeit.com. This week we'll be discussing Smile 2, Conclave, and Venom the Last Dance. I'm your host, Bill George. With me today, as always, AJ Rebecki and super producer Craig Stanton. Gentlemen, hello.
What up?
How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, AJ. Great.
Why are you great?
Coming off a vacation. Just got back from a trip.
Wow. You can see it in his face and his skin.
Yeah.
Glowing.
Glowing.
Just, yes.
Like a pregnant lady.
I knew you were going to go there.
Tell us everything. Where were you? Why were you there? What did you do?
Sure. So I just got back from Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And so to give a little context, me and a friend of the show, Krista, she lives in California, the lawless hellscape of California, and I live in the shining beacon on a hill of Boston, Massachusetts. When we want to hang out once a year, we meet up in a new city that neither of us have been to, and we check it out and explore, and that's kind of how we catch up. So this year, we met up in Charleston to scope out the locale, and we had a really good time. If I were to grade it, because that's what I do, I'd give this one a solid B+.
That's a pretty good grade.
B+.
Good grade.
All right.
You've been to Charleston, AJ. You were just there recently, I think.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. We've all been to Charleston. We've all had good times in Charleston.
Yeah.
We're a big Charleston pod.
To give context to the scale, I think Chicago's an A. I think we would all concede Chicago's an A. So using that as my reference, I would give this a B+. And I would say the positives are the food and the weather and the walkability. I would say the downside, overall stuff to do, like not a ton. Like I wouldn't necessarily go back. Like I feel like I got what I needed out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Charleston is you go there for relaxation and gluttony, right? You're there to eat drink and, in my case, play golf, right? That's it. You know, you're not seeing the sights and sounds, you know.
That's my issue.
You might go to the Naval Yard, right? Or something like that.
That's my issue. There's not a lot of sights and sounds.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, the food was so good that it elevates it. So that's why I go B+.
It's like New Orleans with laws.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll allow it.
Pretty good summary. Pretty good summation on that one.
Did you eat at Husk?
Did not get to Husk. Their hours kind of threw things off for us. They're very limited availability on that one.
Okay. Did you eat at Magnolia's?
Yes.
How was that?
Incredible.
What'd you get?
I got fried chicken. Some of the best fried chicken I've ever had.
Of course you did. Okay. You eat at Lewis Barbecue?
Yes.
How was it?
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. The barbecue... The pork spare rib was the MVP, but the brisket was outstanding. The sides are outstanding. Everything about it. Phenomenal pick.
Great atmosphere, too.
Great atmosphere.
Yeah,
what's the story there?
We eating inside? We eating outside? What are we doing here?
We brought it outside. It was nice. We brought it outside of the picnic tables and such. You know, a big plate with the butcher paper down and just slapping all that barbecue on there.
You tucking a napkin into the shirt collar there?
No, just going right at it.
There's
just
grease right everywhere. He sent me a picture of the platter and I was like, oh my God. He was like, dude, so good. And then he was like leaving. He's like, I'm so full. I think I'm going to die or my organs are shutting down. And I was like, yeah.
Right. Dude, yes.
Like,
yep.
Walk it off, champ. Like butt slap. Like we'll get back in the game a little bit. No more than 2 hours later, he sends me like a dimly lit
ice cream
restaurant with a fucking cookie sundae.
Yeah, I was gonna say there has to be ice cream.
And I was looking for a good dessert when I was there. We found this place, Kaminsky's, and I had to get the chocolate chip sundae. I had to.
I'd be in shambles.
I mean, it was a little bit of a tougher evening, tougher next morning, I will say. I did bring that on myself.
God, I'd be ripping off towel racks.
AJ would have been like, can I have the chocolate chip sundae? And could you dial 911 for me just ahead of time?
Can you just tie a tarp around my waist?
Worth it, though.
Okay, so trip was good. Plane movies there and back. What did you do? You put on the Vision Pro and pretend you were in the Apollo?
No. In this case, we're talking about a 2-hour flight. Really not enough to merit really either the, certainly not the Vision Pro, but also not even really to get into a movie. So it was more.
You raw dog it?
On the way, no, I did not. On the way down, I did like music and podcasts. On the way back, I busted out the iPad and I had some like YouTube videos saved locally that I went through. So yeah, just kept it pretty simple.
Yeah, what's your YouTube algorithm? Like card counters?
No, it's mostly movie stuff, like interviews with actors, like that, video game stuff, just whatever I would normally watch.
Always grinding.
I wish we should do a thing where we take a screenshot of our YouTube homepages. I would love to see my algorithm versus your two algorithms. I think that would be hilarious. You might actually have to call somebody based on mine. Mine's fucked.
Yeah, I feel like yours could be like camera lenses next to like also a guy who's like field dressing a deer.
Yeah, and then it's like I went 3 hours on a craps table on a single roll. Yeah. And then it's like, and then it's competitive eating people.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So that covers me. What have you guys been up to or what have you been watching?
Travel talk. Not much. Just been ding-danging around. Halloween when you have a kid. Remember growing up, Halloween was October 31st, right?
Sure.
That was it.
Famously a one-day holiday.
A one-day holiday. Mm-hmm. Nope, it is now the...
Halloween night, we used to call it.
The 2 weeks leading up to Halloween is now actually Halloween. Mm. Trunk or treats and boogie bags and...
What's a boogie bag?
Yeah. Look it up. Thanks, Today Show. It's just a mess. So we've been doing a lot of activities, a lot of Halloween stuff. I've been watching stuff too. We're going to talk about some stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to let you know that the other night, couldn't sleep. I said, what movie can I watch that will really get me in a good mood?
Uh-huh.
I watched Skyfall. I just...
Skyfall, yes.
It's just a perfect movie. It's one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Woo!
It is. It has to be. And The Shining is now in that category as well.
Oh, Shining vaulting in there. I love it. Skyfall.
I can't stop thinking about that movie. But Skyfall, my God.
Skyfall, I'm due for a rewatch on that one. That is just a hell of a film.
It's just so good. Yeah.
Just so good.
Craig, how are you? Looks like you got the shit kicked out of you by the day today.
No. I feel great. I'm happy to be here. You should see the other guy.
Okay.
You should see the other guy. I haven't been watching squat. Been watching a lot of baseball. Been watching the World Series.
Yep.
I'm a big time hater of the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're up.
To a sort of a weird point, Bill and I were talking about this the other night. I revealed to him that I actually listen to a Yankees podcast just to occasionally drink Yankee tears when they're losing. The other night, I went so far as to actually watch game 3 with that podcast's live stream.
Oh, wow.
Up side screen. Incredible.
I assumed it was a know thy enemy type situation.
That's kind of fucked up.
Behind enemy lines.
I listen to a podcast that is like a national, like a MLB podcast that's hosted by these two guys. One of those guys who I like has a separate podcast he's from New York. He's a Yankee fan. He has a separate podcast, which is his Yankees podcast. So I like the guy and does a good job of like separating his fandom when he's talking about like league wide stuff. So I actually don't hate the hosts. I don't like hate listen. I'm not like angry, but I do find it interesting because I'm like invested in the team in a sense, insofar as I'm invested in them losing.
Losing,
sure.
But I already like the host, so it's like actually kind of an easy transition. It's not as deranged as it sounds, but it's a little deranged.
Got it.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty significant multi-level like pity thing going on.
It's weird. So that's really what I've been doing, and just continuing to enjoy El Pinguino every week.
Sure, quiet, sure. Quiet, yeah, quiet, I also have got, found myself. I found myself sucked into the World Series as well, and also the Celtics have started off. And I was at Game 1 where they raised the banner 18. Wow, so I was happy.
Presented by
Vistaprint.
This year it's Amica.
Amica.
Amica's the new sponsor of the Boston Celtics.
Amica Insurance Company.
Yes. So they now are on the unis. But yeah, they did a really nice job. Hell of a ceremony. So very fun.
Phenomenal.
Wow. That's been sports talk.
And unlike your previous ceremony visits, they actually won the game.
Yes. Anytime I've been there for a jersey retirement, they have gotten blown out by 30. So I was prepared to lose. But instead, they basically won by 30. So it went the other way because our team is an absolute machine.
Glad I did not follow your gambling advice on that night. I believe you told us all to bet the house or something to that effect on the Celtics losing.
I mean, if history was any guide, you would think. But nope, that's why I don't bet.
Look at that. Okay.
All right. What's in the news, AJ?
In the news, Marvel has announced its full slate of TV for the coming year. The following shows have been announced with release dates. What If Season 3 comes out right before Christmas. Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man comes out January 25th. Daredevil Born Again, March 4th. Ironheart, June 24th. Eyes of Wakanda, August 6th. Marvel Zombies, October 25th. And Wonder Man on Christmas, around Christmas of next year. Most of them are animated. Bill, which will you be watching and which will you be skipping?
I think the only must watch on that list for me is Daredevil.
Yep.
The rest, like I did this first season of What If and got less interested. The Spider-Man thing, not super into. Ironheart, I'm actually surprised they kept going with Ironheart. I know they introduced that character in Black Panther 2 and haven't touched it since, so I kind of thought maybe they had scrapped it and moved on, but she is getting her show. Eyes of Wakanda, I had never heard of until I read this article. And Marvel Zombies is an offshoot of a What If episode from season 1, I think. And that's also animated.
It's based on the comic book run too, I believe, right?
Okay.
Which was a great comic book run, but like, I don't know if I want to watch that.
Yeah. And then Wonder Man.
Like, what is that? Is that their reaction to the anti-woke movement? They're like, oh, you wanted Wonder. What? We give you a Wonder Man now.
It's going to go big in the men's rights
community. I don't
know. Yeah.
Presumably, it's a Marvel character that I just have never heard of. Maybe it's a deep cut. I don't know. They have, I believe it's the actor from Watchmen playing Wonder Man. He's great. I forget the name and I apologize for that, but he's great. So maybe, but I don't know a thing about it. So I'll have to see what the reviews are on that. But yeah, not super psyched. Honestly, Daredevil's the one big one that feels like it's a must watch.
Yeah. I can't wait for Daredevil. I loved the series on Netflix. I loved the Punisher series on Netflix. Mm-hmm, they're basically bringing everyone back for this round.
That's what it sounds like.
I heard tonally and like what you can expect is going to be pretty much like the Netflix show. So yeah, I'm super pumped. The rest, meh. I mean, Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, big Spider-Man house over here. We'll probably end up watching it if it's like suitable for younger kids. But yeah, I'm with you, man. A lot of lackluster shit coming out.
Yep. Well, they are releasing more and more teasers as it goes, so we'll have to see what the what they look like. But that is the Marvel slate.
Wait, another big thing out of the Camp Marvel is that the Blade movie has been officially indefinitely put on suspension. Pause, hold. They didn't cancel it, but they removed it from the film slate for next year, and the production status is at a complete halt.
Right, which makes the post-credits scene from The Eternals just more and more comical because it just keeps pushing it back. And that, I know they've gone through multiple writers, multiple directors. It's it's a mess. That one's a mess.
Not to mention the
head scratcher.
The line in Deadpool versus Wolverine where Wesley Snipes was like, I will be the only Blade ever.
There's only one Blade, yep.
There's only one Blade,
yeah. That may be true. That may be true by the end of this saga.
So yeah, who knows?
All right, AJ, for the last installment of spooky cinematic blind spots.
Yes.
Ooh. I watched the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I had never seen. Yeah. And you watched John Carpenter's The Thing, a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah.
We'll start with you. What did you think of Kurt Russell in
Kurt
The
Russell.
Thing?
Craig's face. What a weird movie.
It is. It is strange.
Like, hold on. Let me pull up the text that I sent you last night. I said, this whole thing is fucking bonkers.
Yep.
I said, the first 3 minutes goes from shitty, shaking, unlocked, establishing shots of some guys trying to shoot a fucking dog to then getting his skull blown off by a hammerless six shooter. And you said, yep, that's a wild ride. It's crazy. It is an absolute batshit bonkers movie. Not to mention the special effects, the practical effects. I did not expect him to be A, that wild, and B, that good for 1980.
Yeah.
Two. What, like, wild.
That is the claim to fame for the movie is, well, the plot and the suspense, but mostly the practical effects. Like, that is what continues to live on.
Because
this was pre any sort of, you know, digital
It was
effect
all
of any kind.
Yeah. And a $15 million budget, I think I read online that $2 million, close to $3 million were spent on practical special effects. Practical effects.
Yeah.
So
the puppetry is
the budget.
Puppetry is insane. That's what allows it, I think, to hold up to this day and still kind of be scary in that sense.
It doesn't hold up. I mean, it's great, but it doesn't hold up.
Oh, I disagree. I saw it on like a re-release in theaters. That was great.
No, Jurassic Park holds up. The
sure.
thing is like some weird art house, weird. It's like I told you, it's kind of campy, but I don't think it tries to be campy. It plays it serious as a car crash, but the whole thing is just weird.
Yeah, no, it's serious. It's a serious movie. I don't see any camp in it personally.
But like, B-. B-.
Okay. But even if you say, do you mean it doesn't hold up by the effects or by the filmmaking? Because like the suspense of the blood test scene is such an iconic sort of sequence in that movie. I think that still works.
Yeah. No, you ruined me with The Shining. Like you gave me a perfect movie.
Yeah.
And now one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time, and then followed it with this. I'm trying to compare apples to oranges and give it a fair grade, but I can't.
Okay.
Sorry. And that goes to the Texas Chainsaw. I told you to watch the original. I actually think the remake is better than the original. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry. I will accept your apology, but let's talk about the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974.
Is it bad?
It's bad. So as a pop cultural artifact, it's important and influential and interesting, and I get all that. But as a movie, it's very of its time in a bad way. Like The Exorcist or The Shining, both made in the 70s, still work today. This one made in the 70s does not work, super dated. And it's just a movie that, like, I respect it and I get it, but I just didn't like it. I would never watch it again.
Yeah.
Halfway through, I legitimately said to myself, like, I don't want to watch this. Like, I just didn't see a lot of value in it. It's kind of loud and obnoxious. It's just constant screaming. And the way horror movies have evolved, like most horror movies now, there's a story or a story within the story, like elevated horror, quote unquote, has kind of changed the game. So to go back to something that exists purely to shock and awe, and you're relying just on execution, which that execution is now dated and doesn't work anymore, it just was not an enjoyable watching experience. Again, I get the influence. I see the influence, like the setup, the story beats, like the template it lays out for the formula for future horror movies. It's still recognizable today. Like, I get that. So I am, I guess, overall happy I saw it because I can see where a lot of stuff I'm familiar with comes from originally. But it ain't my cup of tea.
Ain't his cup of tea, folks. Yeah.
So that would be my thought on that one.
Sorry. We're out of spooky season. Maybe next year. Watch the 2002 or 4 one. I think it's going to be a lot better.
Is it a little better?
Yeah.
I was going to try to squeeze that into my schedule so I could compare both. I didn't get to it, though. So maybe next time for sure.
All right. So we're in this weird gap between spooky season and Muppet Christmas Carol season. So why don't we just go like normal movies between now and next episode? We'll talk offline. We might throw something up on Instagram. We'll talk about some blind spots we have. I know one that's top of mind for me as an Italian-American. It shames me in my heritage to say that I've never watched The Godfather.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be number one with a bullet for you. No doubt.
Is it like 7 hours long?
I don't think so. I mean, I've only seen the Godfathers 1 and 2 once, maybe twice, and it's been a long time. So I couldn't say. I never watched Godfather Part 3, so that's a blind spot for me. But I also understand that it is the one that is shamed and outcast, so I don't really feel like I need to see it. But you should definitely see 1, for sure.
Okay.
I gotta look at my thoughts, my list of what is a blind spot for me. Craig, your hand is raised?
Yes, yeah, sir. I'm workshopping names for this segment.
Okay.
Ooh, I like
this. I
got
a couple ideas.
Hit me.
I wanna Don Draper, go.
Yeah.
Run past you. So I got 4 here. So should I finally see it? Sifsy.
Okay.
Sounds like that.
Finally, I did see it. Fidzy.
Okay.
Should I go back and see it? Sigbasi. Or a late submission. Should I fill this blind spot? Sift BS.
I feel like Sigbasi got the biggest laugh.
Sigbasi, should I go back and see it? Sigbasi, should I go back and see it?
What about like
Sigbasi?
So again, should I finally see it? Sifsi. Finally, I did see it. Fidzi. Should I go back and see it? Sigbasi. Should I fill this blind spot? Sift BS. I feel like the clear loser is Sift BS.
You get it out. Get it
get
out.
That out of there.
F-I-L-S-I. Fuck it. I'll see
you. We've been calling them cinematic blind spots, which is tough because CBS can't really be incorporated into the
sure,
sure. sort of thing.
Sigbasi.
Oh, I forgot the first one. I didn't see it. Idzi.
Idzi's not bad.
I didn't
fuck
see it.
Fuck Idzi. It. I'll see it.
Idzi. Idzi rolls
C.
off. Phil like C. Idzi.
Fill me. Fill me.
Fill me's tough. We got Idzi, Sifsi, Fidzi, Sigbasi.
I vote Idzi or Sigbasi.
I like Sigbasi, Sigbasi,
Sigbasi.
Should I go Sigbasi. Back and see it? Okay, should I go back and see it?
Should I go back and see it?
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, throw that in there. Okay.
On to should I go see it? This week we'll be talking about 3 films that will probably... This is a big week for you, Bill. You had a lot of things to say about these 3 films. The first one is Smile Part 2. It Will Never Let Go. Electric Boogaloo. About to embark on a world tour, global pop sensation Sky Riley begins experiencing increasingly terrifying and inexplicable events. Overwhelmed by the escalating horrors and the pressures of fame, Sky is forced to face her past. Bill, should I go see it?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes. This movie's absolutely incredible, AJ. Incredible.
Okay.
Is the pop star played by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter?
No. No, it is not. No.
Thank God. I'll go watch it with you tomorrow.
What great. Go ahead, AJ. What are you struggling with?
No. I'm just confused. But go. You go. Talk to me about this film.
It is a masterclass in filmmaking. I'm telling you.
What?
Legitimately one of the best horror movies I've ever seen. I am dead serious. It is remarkable. So the movie follows a similar trajectory to the first movie. So the first movie, which we reviewed here, gave it a yes, really liked it, is very much about depression and suicide. And that movie introduces this concept of somebody kills themselves in front of our protagonist. And then the protagonist starts to see things and experience like psychosis, basically. And so they take a moment in this movie to kind of dig into the lore just to get people caught up. But basically it boils down to that from the first movie caused a chain reaction of somebody killing themselves in front of somebody, then that person going crazy and they end up killing themselves in front of somebody else. And that, so it's chain reaction from the first movie. And now it has affected this pop star. It's kind of like a Lady Gaga-esque pop star played by Naomi Scott, who experiences the same thing. And it just, the movie just works flawlessly. The performance is brilliant. The camera work, stunning. There's like a fake oneer that opens it. There's a couple of those peppered in, but they're not super flashy. Like they serve the purpose of pulling you in, but they don't draw themselves attention to it. There's some incredible mirror shots. Just all of that stuff is great. The music, the sound design, there's the original score. There's the original music for the pop star to sing, which was great. It's just the direction overall was amazing. It's just directed to perfection. And then you get the scares, like the jump scares, the setups and deliveries are some of the best. There was one particular jump scare. So I saw this movie with a friend of the show, Nick Esposito. And this jump scare was so intense. He whacked me in the arm as we both jumped. I was in the process of jumping and then something whacked me in my arm. I got even more scared. It took a while to get back to my resting heart rate after that one. It was just, the movie just works so well. It's just phenomenal. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie.
Were you surprised by this or were you like, I'm ready to go see the best horror movie I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Well, so I loved the first one.
Like, is Mafegan was good? Is Mafforgan going to be like this too? Is it going to be better?
I don't know about that. This is, it takes, the thing that makes this an improvement on the original are a couple things. One, it adds a little bit of levity. Like there are some scenes and sequences that are meant to give you a chuckle versus the first movie is just like super heavy. So that was nice. Just the tone, I think they nailed it. And then the other thing is this movie has the advantage of being a sequel. So like the first movie loses momentum in act two because the whole movie kind of grinds to a halt while they look up the thing and explore the lore and yada, yada, yada. This movie kind of assumes you have a basic understanding, assuming you saw the first, and they have like one scene of exposition to catch up just in case. But otherwise, the movie just like is paced so much better. So there isn't that burden. And it expands the scope of the metaphor of the movie. Like the first movie is all about depression and suicide. This movie adds more layers around focusing more on like addiction as sort of representative within sort of the monster makeup of the narrative. So they basically took all the ideas of the first one and just ran with them further, upped the execution. Like I still can't stop thinking about it. It's in running for best of the year. Like I am telling you, this movie is phenomenal.
Could you go see it?
Kigsy.
could you go see it without seeing the original, the first?
Great question, you could. Craig. You absolutely could. There's no... I mean, there is a correlation to the first one, but it's not like there's no carryover characters, none of that stuff. And again, they have that little scene in the middle that kind of catches you up. But as long as you understand the concept of this thing, demon, whatever you want to call it, that causes people to go crazy and then kill themselves. And then anybody who sees that, they can follow that same process. As long as you get that idea, you can just go see this.
Got it.
And be astounded. And like it proved to me that 2024 is becoming like a sneaky good movie year, especially in this genre.
Put it down. Remind us when we do best of the year.
Yeah,
it's Craig's got another question. I bet it's going to be another good one. Craig, go.
I Christy and I have an arrangement where she gets to pick one scary movie a year that I will watch with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I can ultimately veto it if it's too scary and I don't want to watch it. See The Substance, but should this
coward.
Be it? Would you recommend to her when you have the entire world of like horror movies on Netflix and whatnot available to you at home? Would you say forget about that, go to the theater and watch Smile 2?
Yes.
Wow.
No hesitation.
Whoa.
If you're going for a newer release, especially, yes. If you wanted a thriller, more of a thriller, like edge of your seat at home, I still say Don't Breathe. That's like my go-to recommendation for people. If you want a thriller horror, that's more of a thriller, I guess, but Don't Breathe. But if you're talking about the possibility of seeing this in a theater, yes, take that opportunity.
All right.
It's the one.
Folks. Okay. Second film, Conclave. Mm. According to IMDb.com, when Cardinal Lawrence is tasked with leading one of the world's most secretive and ancient events, selecting a new pope, he finds himself at the center of a conspiracy that could shake the very foundation of the Catholic Church. Man, I thought we were all going to go together to see this. Bill, should I go see it?
Yes.
Is this... How great is this movie?
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. You gotta love a movie like this because it's so rarely made. It's a drama about the selection of the next pope, Ralph Fiennes plays the dean of the selection process, and we just follow him throughout the whole movie. Like, it's all from his perspective. He's in every scene. Any information he has, we have. And there's multiple rounds of voting in this process.
Ooh.
And there's political intrigue. There's some philosophical debate. Like, the writing's superb. Fiennes has this great monologue about faith and doubt and certainty. Like, just knock your socks off monologue. It's remarkable. And on a technical level, it's gorgeous. The cinematography is phenomenal. And the music, like, this should be in the running for best original score. The movie works because of the music. It sets the tone and the mood and informs you on how to watch the movie. Like, it's what tells you, like, it's okay. This movie's, like, pulpy and over the top. Like it gets you there. Because it's not meant to be super grounded or realistic. Like, it is meant to be, like, a little trashy in a fun way.
Sure.
Bill is handing out Oscars like it's Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I am. Told you, 2024, sneaky good. Performances are great. Fiennes is great. The Tooch gives a naturalistic performance.
Tell me everything that bald, perfect bastard does.
He's great. He is fantastic in it.
Does he play an American or does he use an accent?
No, he's American, which is great.
Hell, I love that rules.
That was one of my favorite things.
USA.
One of my favorite things about the movie is because all these different potential popes, cardinals, whatever they are, come from different countries. They have all these different actors, all these amazing actors from different countries that are just being their own. They're not trying to force everybody to have some stupid accent. Like, they can just be themselves because that's how it would be. So it adds that naturalistic touch. Oh, I loved it. Loved it.
Do we know where they shot this? And what follow-up question, was it at the Vatican?
I don't know.
Can't imagine.
I don't know.
That might be a tough one.
Because there's a couple scenes in the trailers that are like in the fucking Sistine Chapel or whatever.
And
like,
yeah, the voting area.
The movie in the Sistine Chapel, but like,
right,
I don't know.
Right. I mean, the voting area, I'm guessing they recreated pretty heavily. Or maybe even green screen backgrounds, who knows. But, I mean, all the establishing shots and stuff, I mean, it looks like it's on location. It looks phenomenal.
It was shot in Rome.
I guess you could probably go to, like, a variety of, like, old-ass churches in Rome.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's a movie studio set in Rome called Cinecittà, and it's a full soundstage, full everything there. So wow. I think they basically either built the set in the studio or it already existed. But yeah, it was shot.
Do you want to give him an Oscar for best set design?
I might. Why not?
Is Ralph Fiennes going to get a nom for best actor?
I don't know. I feel like the movie's a little too kind of pulpy to really get the Oscar attention. I think the music and the cinematography, though, on a technical level are so good. Those might. I don't think they're going to go for the performances, though.
Okay. I can't wait to watch this movie. I'm
yeah,
so excited.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
Is it a perfect movie?
I don't know that I would go that far because for me, my only notes on it, there's like five or six characters essentially in the running for Pope. So like those are the ones they kind of focus on. And then as the story goes on, it gets kind of a tighter and tighter race, etc. But the movie's, I think it's 2 hours or almost 2 hours.
Ooh.
And just given the nature of the movie, I think if you cut out one of those characters and their subplot, you could probably make it closer to like a tight 90, which I think would have really made it perfect if it had a little bit of a faster pace. I also didn't necessarily love the ending, like how they landed the plane. Didn't quite like a movie like this is tough because the entire movie's build up. So I was like waiting to see if it would knock my socks off at the end, which it didn't quite, but it was still fine. Like the ending doesn't take away how much I loved it. But those would be my only notes is like maybe tweak the ending and just tighten it a little bit. And it could have been a borderline perfect movie, but as is, it's still a hell of a time.
Okay. Well, we go from that to this, Venom, The Last Dance. Eddie and Venom, on the run with a fucking horse Venom, face pursuit from both worlds. As circumstances tighten, they're compelled to make a heart-wrenching choice that could mark the end of their symbiotic partnership. Bill, how bad was this movie?
No, you should not go see it. It's awful. Okay. It's bad in every way.
Okay. Like how bad?
Like Venom. Venom coming out of the screen and eating my brain would have been more enjoyable. The story is lazy.
Okay.
The performances are phoned in. The direction is uninspired. It is soulless. It's bad, AJ. It's real bad.
Okay.
Mercifully, I slept during about 15 minutes of it.
Oh, wow.
So that was great.
Any
to
positives?
Get a nice respite from this trash. What?
Any good? I mean, we went right into just bashing. Is there any good things?
Juno Temple is in it, and she's always a treat. Although she gets the thankless scientist role, but still. The only other neat thing about it is they do get the other symbiotes involved in the action, and some of the character designs I recognized from some of the old comics when I was a kid. Because the symbiotes are cool, period. Like they always have been.
That's why everyone loves Venom. Is it like Carnage in there?
Not Carnage, but like the one with the long hair and the one that... Like there's just different ones that I would recognize from the old comics. So that's kind of cool. Like I know that design. So that's neat. But that's going to be it, really.
You know, you forgot a big one. The biggest positive to come out of this is...
What's that?
Tom Hardy's going to build a wine cellar in his house now.
Yeah, he can get his kids through college.
It's going to be sick.
If he has kids, I don't know. But it feels like a 20-year-old movie. Like this came out in 2004, maybe we would have been wowed. But now, it's a disaster.
Wait, I'm just catching up on a few things in my brain. I thought you said the best part of this film was the fact that now the series is completely over.
Yeah, I mean, that's a positive, too. It's presumably over.
And then the second thing is, does Juno Temple have her, like, Cockney accent in this movie?
No, like, she doesn't. She does American, if I recall.
It's a fucking horse.
No, keep going. This is going great.
No, she does. She does American, if I recall.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be so much better if it was a Cockney accent.
No, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. The other thing that's annoying about it.
That was the worst. Can we just take a second? That's you. You sounded like Gary Oldman wearing a ball gag. Like, what are you doing there with that accent?
I don't know. How, yeah.
You sound like fucking AC/DC.
I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Oi. Oi. Oi, it's a horse. It's a horse dog, Venom. A ruby the size of a tangerine.
There we go.
It's Michael Caine.
Back into your wheelhouse.
Speaking of people doing weird voices, you also have a new big bad CGI character introduced in the opening, played by, guess who, Andy Serkis. Of course, because it's a motion-captured bad guy.
What's his name, like? Knull?
Yeah, Krull? Knull? I don't know. And he wants to kill Venom. And so he sends these creatures through space to find him, whatever. But the creatures can only see Venom when Venom's in full Venom form. So Venom can't be in full Venom form. So most of the movie is, it's basically an excuse so that you see more Tom Hardy. So you have Tom Hardy with like the Venom head popping up, but never him as Venom, or very rarely him as Venom, which, you know, is like the fun part of the movie. So they cut that out. And yeah, it's awful.
Can
God,
we stop? Okay, we can stop talking about this.
We got to move on. It's bad.
Oh my
it's
God.
Everything that you hate about superhero movies. Just full bore.
Good to know. Okay. Netflix and Bill, what are we watching? Bill, what are you watching?
I watched two other movies, Netflix originals. One, Woman of the Hour, which I gave a yes. Which was Anna Kendrick's directorial debut. Mm-hmm. She also stars.
Mm.
Great movie. Mm. Tough to watch based on the content of it on purpose.
Mm.
Like meant to make you uncomfortable in terms of the tone. Mm-hmm. About a serial killer in the 70s.
Mm.
Based on true story. Wild true story. Mm. So definitely recommend. And then I watched Don't Move, which was like a new thriller.
Wait. Woman of the Hour. Premise is, it's like the dating show or the dating show, and that the fact that the guy who's trying to go on the dates is a serial killer?
Yes, this guy killed multiple women in the 70s and then also went on the dating show. Because back in the 70s, as long as you weren't there when the police showed up, you could basically get away with murder. I mean, that's just how it was, apparently.
Okay. Truth hurts.
So the movie speaks to the sort of societal norms at the time that allowed for this guy to be able to do this with no repercussion, really. Okay. And he could even go on the show. And so, yeah, it's intense, but very well done.
Okay. Love it.
Then there was a high concept thriller called Don't Move, where this woman is abducted and the abductor injects her with like a paralytic that will make her body shut down in the next 20 minutes. And she's trying to escape him while as her body starts to shut down. They hype it up as like, what if you only had 20 minutes? And like the tagline is like, you can hide, but you can't run because her leg's shut down. So like they play this whole thing up as like this, you have 20 minutes to get out. What do you do? And so that's a great part of the movie. The problem is it's a 90-minute movie and it takes 20 minutes for this to happen. So like after act one and they've used that concept, it then just becomes a standard abduction movie that you've seen a million times. So I wish it was better. Like I really wanted it to be good. I was kind of really invested for the first act. And then it just started to kind of become every movie I've seen.
Again, I talk about this a lot on this podcast. There are some ideas that are not full feature movie ideas. They are ad campaign ideas or short film ideas. That's a short film where it's like 2 minutes in, like you get out as late as possible. You get out, you know what I mean? What, how do you say it? Right?
You get in as late as you can.
She gets stabbed and he's like, you got 20 minutes to figure this out. And the movie ends at the 23rd minute mark.
Yeah, I was waiting for like, give me a real-time counter on the screen. Like, give me something gimmicky. Like, I'm into it. But they do it essentially in real time. They do a pretty good job of that. But again, it's a 90-minute movie and they do this in 20. So it's like, and then you know, the effects slowly wear off and it just becomes a normal abduction movie and it just kind of like wastes its own concept. So it's a drag. Good idea. Good performances all around. Competently made. It's just the story starts to hit so many like tropes and familiar beats once you get past that interesting setup.
Yeah.
And the last thing I watched also on Netflix, the 3-part documentary about your 2004 Boston Red Sox.
Bum, 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 ba-da.
How was it?
It's fantastic. Really, as far as sports docs go, it's up there. Very, very well done, I thought. I believe Craig watched it as well.
I have not yet watched it.
Oh, I thought you did.
Wow, No. I've been busy the last couple of weeks. I'm going to get to it. I actually just listened to a big, long interview with the director the other day. I'm very interested. I will definitely be watching, but I haven't seen it yet.
Question belt.
Yeah.
20 years later, who from the Red Sox looks the best and who is just a bloated corpse of what they used to be? Go.
Let's see. Pedro was a little bloated. Kurt Schilling was the opposite. He's like, she's becoming a skeleton. He didn't look great. Kevin Millar looked great.
Pedro's just got like a fat face. It's all like in his neck.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like the salt.
He's actually not like, if you like see him, he's like not a big guy. Like it's all above the collar.
I mean, Ortiz feels like hasn't aged a day. He looks the same. Kurt showed some age. Veritek showed some age. But, I mean, it was cool because they got basically everybody for these interviews, which was really nice, including, like, John Henry and Theo Epstein. Theo is really the star of it in terms of, I thought episode one was the best overall episode just because it was, like, assembling the team, getting everybody together, giving you all the context. I thought that was great. See, episode two is more, like, the season and the beginning of the postseason, and then episode three is all about the comeback. So I thought they did a nice job parsing it out. I thought three episodes was a good amount to cover it. I thought the interviews were great. The insight was great. The archival footage is always great. So yeah, it was just really well done.
How many times do you use the term Curse of the Bambino?
Many.
Yeah.
That comes up significantly.
I was going to say, if I had a transcript and I hit Command F and I said Bambino, probably what, like 1,200 times? Yeah.
Lots.
Okay.
But no, it was great. It's great. Highly recommend.
Love it.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot longer, and I just in the interview with the director, I discovered that it was like 3 hours basically across three episodes, that like lowered the barrier of time intimidation, and so
I did it in one sitting. I was caught up in it for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Tickets. What are you watching soon?
No TV for you guys?
Dog.
Just Penguin?
Wah, 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 wah.
Penguin continues to impress.
Penguin.
Now they're saying Sofia Falcone might be in the Batman 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, we shamed you last week about this, AJ. Have you atoned for your sins? You were like, yeah, I'll watch it. What's up? What's the status?
No Stanley Tucci atonement here. I don't have to go in front of the Vatican and plead my atonement.
Well, last week, hold the tape.
I said I was doing Halloween shit. Pelguino. No, I've
another
watched,
horrible accent from AJ. Wow.
I've watched no TV. I've watched a lot of kids' movies, including Coco.
Coco.
Un pollo loco. Okay.
Fantastic.
Coco's a good one.
Okay.
That's it for me, Bill. Oh, except for some real, like, new TV, Abbott Elementary, new season underway. Very funny.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe even funnier. They did one the other day about where everybody in the school gets ringworm. And it was fucking hilarious. Probably the funniest episode of Abbott Elementary I can remember.
That concept already.
I saw the commercial
funny.
For it. Yeah, it looked
and then
funny.
Shrinking. I think AJ's watching Shrinking as well.
And oh, it's, and it started it's the new it's season fine. Of Ink Master, which is just dirty TV. Just a little.
Is hold on, yeah. Craig? Is the Abbott Elementary Always Sunny crossover this season that just started? Is that coming out in the coming weeks?
I have not yet seen like a trailer for it. They posted on Instagram about like Charlie Day, Rob McElhenney were with the cast.
Right.
But I don't know if
that means that they shot it, it's this season, or if they're shooting it now for like next season.
Or yeah. Is it them on
Abbott or Abbott on Always Sunny?
I would assume it was on Abbott. It was Abbott that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe I just have Abbott on the brain because it's the current show on the current season. I hope it's on Abbott.
It's got to be on Abbott because is Sunny on right now?
I don't know. There are the show's never 72nd season. Yeah. I don't fucking know. Okay, tickets here,
guys.
What do you got, Phil?
Ticket to see Anora.
Bless you.
Which is supposed to be very good. It got nominated for a bunch of Gotham Awards, I think it was. Okay. A lot of buzz. Buzzy movie. Buzz. Seeing it on Halloween night. Just turn the lights out. Kids can go fuck themselves.
Wow, okay.
Look. I usually am at work or not around for Halloween, and I usually leave candy out. And every year, the amount of candy that is taken by the time I get home is less and less and less. Like, I just don't think it's happening in my neighborhood. So this time, I'm seeing a movie, and I'm just going to leave lights out. That's just how it is.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't need to explain myself to you. So then, tickets to see Wicked and tickets to see Gladiator 2.
Wicked. Something has changed within me. Something is
not the same.
Okay. A lot of drama there with that movie. Holy shit, not even out yet.
Film Twitter is dragging it right now over the lighting and all the trailers.
What's the drama? What's the drama?
There's a few pieces
to it, Craig. A lot to get into. Don't know if we have the time right now.
Is it like... never mind.
That's not worth getting into.
Yeah.
I will say from a film perspective, it's getting dragged.
Is it like angry racists drama or is it like film nerds drama?
Broadway nerd, film nerd elements of a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's like a little sprinkle.
But it's not like we're mad that Ariel is black.
No, I think it's
I think it's past.
No, that we're past that.
I don't know.
As a nation, we are not past that. But
no,
but
in this instance, in this instance. But no, it's funny because film Twitter is like making fun of all like the look of the movie based on these new trailers and new clips that they keep putting out as it gets closer. But then I also saw a couple headlines with early reviews and some of the people that got screenings of it. The early reviews are off the charts, saying it's phenomenal. Ariana Grande steals every scene she's in. The chemistry is incredible. So some high praise coming in from people who've seen it. And then some people dragging it over the look of the film based on the trailer. So a real mixed bag, but I'll be seeing that opening day. So we'll have that review as soon as we can. And then, like I said, Gladiator 2, which also I saw a couple headlines that said people who've seen it early say it's incredible and Denzel's amazing and all this stuff. So pretty amped about that one too.
Tutiator.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Love it.
You never know. Quick poll. Boys, favorite Halloween candy? Bill, go.
Halloween candy. I'm going to go Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Okay. Least favorite. Bill.
The candy corn is like the stock answer because it's like cool to hate on it. What am I going to go with? I don't know. Let me think on that. Craig, do your favorite while I think about favorite my candy. Favorite.
I really like Crunch Bars. I really like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I really like the Milky Ways with the dark chocolate.
Yep.
Gotta have the dark chocolate Milky Way. Regular Milky Ways can get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, run the table, you diabetic fuck.
I don't get to eat that much candy. So when I do, I really load up. Least favorite candy?
Yep.
What's the one? It's like Mike and Ike's, but it comes in that purple and white box.
Good and Plenty.
Yeah, those are garbage, and I never want to hear from them in my life again. Candy corn's fine. Candy corn's good.
Yeah, I'll nibble on a few candy corns.
I'll fucking crush a bowl of candy corn at my grandmother's house when I'm 6.
Right next to the Werther's Originals.
That waxy texture.
Candy corn's fine with me.
I might go Whoppers for one of my least. I used to get those little boxes of little Whoppers.
Malted balls? Milk balls? Delicious.
Nah, something about those.
Weird, though. They make your teeth feel weird.
Yeah, I don't love it. All right, AJ, what's your list?
I mean, I'm a gross human being, so I really don't say no to food a lot. Reese's Pumpkins, I think, are my new favorite Reese's seasonals.
Oh, no, the ratio's off. Way too much peanut butter. No, the original's the original for a reason.
Yeah, I'm eating it. I feel like a horse, like it's stuck to the roof of my mouth. Like I'm eating an apple.
Like you're fucking Mr. Ed.
I've never been a big sour candy guy, but the Nerds. Gummy clusters?
Oh, yeah. Those are fucking incredible.
Fire. I haven't tried those yet, but I keep hearing about them.
Fuck. They make them in ropes, too.
Yeah, the ropes are also sick.
I'll fucking gag on those all night. Yeah, no problem. Crunch bars,
I'm usually more of a chocolate guy.
I do not like Butterfinger. Not a Butterfinger guy. Makes my teeth feel weird. It's all
It'll get
flaky.
Right in the teeth. Right in there.
Yeah. All those are flaky and fucked. Not
those
into
are
it.
Cavity fucking... dingers right there.
You need a chisel to just clear it out.
And then things I dislike a lot, like any of like the Necco wafer Smarties, any of those.
Oh, love Smarties, bro.
Necco wafers are trash, but Smarties are
love
good.
Smarties.
Tootsie Rolls, garbage.
Tootsie Rolls are pretty crap.
Get in the teeth.
But you know what?
Right
but you
teeth.
Know what? You know what? The mini what? Tootsie Rolls are worse than the full size. The full, like, 2-inch long Tootsie Rolls are actually pretty good. They're different.
They get in the teeth. They get in the teeth just as bad as the Butterfingers.
Different texture completely than the Butterfingers. The Butterfingers is like chewing steel wool.
But those 8-inch Tootsie Rolls, my God. Or a big Snickers with a vein running down the center of it.
Wow.
I do love Snickers. Fucking,
Bill, take us away.
Thank you for listening or enduring this episode of the Should I Go See It podcast. Please make sure to follow on Instagram @ Should I Go See It.